Okay, Hosea chapter 1 is where we're going to start. Hosea chapter 1. You know, so far in our home builder series, we have learned from Adam and Eve that we need to cherish our marriage. We learned last week from Nabal and Abigail that we need to quash selfishness. And this evening we're going to learn from Hosea and Gomer that we need to be good forgivers. We need to be good forgivers. Mel, would you shut off those heaters on your way out, please? We need to be good forgivers. Now, since Hosea and Gomer are not a very well-known couple in the Bible, let me just briefly relate their story. It's important that we understand their story in order to be able to grasp what we're going to be looking at here tonight. Hosea was a godly prophet during the time when Israel had forsaken God and began to serve idols. In Israel's history, Israel had gotten away from God, and they had turned their back on God, and they've gone off and served idols. And God looked at that and viewed that as spiritual adultery. They had forsaken God. God was their spouse, so to speak, and they had turned their back on God, and they went and served idols, like they were leaving God, their real spouse, and chasing after false spouses or false people that weren't their spouse in the wickedness of idols. And Hosea's life, his whole life, is a picture of God's feelings toward Israel. It's a bit unusual. Sometimes in the Bible, God did this. Not too often, but sometimes God would take and actually form a person's life in a particular way to be able to show a picture to people around them. And Hosea was one of those examples. And God told Hosea to marry an immoral woman. And that was Gomer. Let me read verses 2 and 3 of chapter 1, and it gives us this context. It says, the beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea, and the Lord said to Hosea, go, take thee a wife of the whoredoms, of the children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. So he went and took Gomer. She was the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. All right, so he said that he was to take a woman of the whoredoms. The word whoredom is a word that refers to people that are immoral, people that are not married to you. And so she was a woman who was going out and being immoral with bad people. She was not living a good life. She was living an immoral life, running around with people that she wasn't married with and living a sinful life with them. And God said, I want you to go and marry Gomer. And again, it was for a picture. And God was going to show something to Israel through Hosea's life. Now, Hosea's life represented God. Now, it doesn't mean that Hosea was perfect. But his life, in the story, in the picture here, Hosea represents God. And Gomer represents Israel. And so he says, Hosea, I want you to marry Gomer. And they were married, and she bare children. And a few years later, Gomer left him. She walked out and left him. And she returned to her immoral life again. Now, again, picture this in your mind of what's taking place in Israel. God brought Israel, if you go way back in Israel's history, Israel started with Abraham's family. Abraham's family were in Ur of the Chaldees, and many of his family were idol worshippers. They were pagans. But somehow God had preserved a certain element, especially in Abraham's life, the spiritual life there, the spiritual relationship between God and man. And Abraham, through Abraham, the children of Israel descended from him. And God brought them out and set them apart to be different for himself. And years went by. Israel stayed pretty good for quite a while. But then Israel drifted away from God. They turned their back on God, just like Gomer did, left her husband, and went back to the wickedness of the world. And Israel left God and went back to idol worship and serving Baal and serving all the false gods of the land and turned their back on God. And then we find, though, that Hosea, after she left, what did he do? The Bible says that he went after her. Let me read another verse in chapter 2 and verse number 2. Chapter 2 and verse number 2, it says, plead with your mother. Now, Hosea is talking to his children, and he says, plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her, therefore, put away her whoredoms out of her sight and her adulteries from between her breasts. So what God's saying here is, he's talking, Homer's talking, or sorry, Hosea is talking to his children and says, your mom has been bad. She's gone back to the wicked way of living that she used to live before. She's acting like she's not my wife. She's acting like I'm not her husband. And things are not going well. And you need to plead for her and that she will do right. And that, so Hosea is concerned. And now Hosea does something that a lot of people wouldn't do. Hosea went looking for her. He went looking for her to try to find her and bring her back. He loved her. He was burdened for her. And the Bible tells us that Gomer, in her, the wickedness of her lifestyle, she got herself into slavery. She actually became a slave. And she was living a filthy, wicked life and a slave to sin. And Hosea had to go buy her back. She was his wife, but he had to buy her back. Chapter 3 and verse number 1. Chapter 3, verse 1 says, Then said the Lord unto me, go, yet love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love the flagons of wine. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver, and for an homer of barley, and a half homer of barley. All right, so here, you know, some commentators say, no, this wasn't Gomer, but most all of them say, no, it was Gomer. That's what he's talking about. So God said, I want you to go find her again, bring her back to yourself, forgive her, bring her back, and buy her back for your wife again. And so that's exactly what he does. Now, this is a picture of what God feels toward Israel. As God looked down upon Israel and God looked down upon the human race that of his people, he saw them turning their back on him and going back to the idols. And God said, no, don't do that. I love you. Come back to me. And God pled with them and pleaded with them and brought them back. He paid for our sins. He died on the cross for us. And he brought them back to himself and loved them even though they had turned their back on God. Now, what this is a great example of forgiveness. Hosea was a good forgiver. He was a good forgiver. And though Gomer left him, he loved her, brought her back, and forgave her of all the wickedness that she did toward him. And you know, every one of us need to be good forgivers. And it's not easy. We don't naturally come by this trait of being a good forgiver. It's not easy to do that. But God wants us to be good forgivers. And tonight we're going to be looking at this. You cannot have a happy home without forgiveness. You can't. Because living under the same roof, when sinners live under the same roof, there's going to be conflicts. There's going to be. No matter how good you are, no matter how wonderful your spouse may be, you're still going to have conflicts sometimes. Because we're sinners. And when the conflicts come, we need to learn to forgive. Doesn't matter whether it's a little sin or a big sin, we need to learn to forgive. And so, as we look at this tonight, you know, it's not just something for husbands and wives, but it's also for children. You know, you children will do wrong. And sometimes you'll need to come to mom and dad and seek forgiveness. And moms and dads, sorry to say, sometimes we do wrong toward the children. And we need to go to them and say, you know, I was wrong. I shouldn't have acted like I did. I shouldn't have done what I did. And ask them to forgive us. And there has to be that forgiveness in our homes in order for us to have peace in our homes. Now, when hurts offend us, or hurts or offenses are not forgiven, it'll lead to anger and bitterness. If we do not forgive, the result will be anger and bitterness in our hearts. And so it is absolutely important that we forgive. And this anger and bitterness will destroy our relationships. And there must be forgiveness, and we must seek forgiveness, both. Now, forgiveness is like the soap that cleans the soiled relationships. You know, we're all going to have soiled relationships. There's going to be times when I'll get upset with my wife, or she'll get upset with me, or we hurt each other with our mouths, or with our words, or with our actions. And you will do the same with yours, your spouse, or with your children, or with your mom or dad, or whatever the situation may be. And when that happens, the forgiveness is that soap that will wash the relationship clean again and get it back to what it once was and should be. And I like what Stephen Kendrick said in his book, Resolution for Men. He said, when wounded people finally forgive, the dark clouds part in their emotions and a breath of fresh air and sunshine rushes into their hearts. That's what God wants. You know, many times we think, well, I just can't forgive. And we get bitter in our heart. Who's suffering the most? The person we won't forgive or us? We suffer the most from it because we're the one that is eating up with bitterness. We're the one that is fuming and brooding over it and not sleeping at night because we're upset and angry about something. We're the one that suffers. And God says here that if we'll forgive, we can have peace in our heart again. And that's what God wants, and that's what Hendricks was talking about there. Now, the biblical meaning of forgive. What is the biblical definition of forgive? It literally means to send away. To send away. And it is sending away someone's guilt or someone's accountability. We've chosen to send it away instead of hang on it. Refusing to forgive is holding the offender in our heart's angry bondage. Refusing to forgive is holding the offender in our heart's angry bondage. I hate him. He hurt me. I'm not going to let go of that. I'm not going to forgive. You know, I remember years ago, there's a lady that said to me, I was preaching on forgiveness and it was in a Sunday school class, and she raised her hand. She says, there's somebody I will never forgive. I said, well, if you don't forgive them, God can't forgive you. That's a serious thing to say, I won't forgive. And forgiveness is something very, very important. We need forgiveness. Forgiving, then, in a practical sense, is setting the offender free. Forgiveness is setting the offender free. We've had them bound up in our heart and angry and bitter, and we need to set them free and let them go. And let God take control of the situation. Let God take care of the situation that has done wrong. Now tonight, as home builders, if we're going to build our home, build our relationships, we need to practice four ways of forgiveness. Four ways. They build on each other. Very important. And you need to memorize these four ways. It'll be a great help to you if you will. The first one is this. Forgive comprehensively. Now that's a big word, and I tried to think of a smaller word for it, but I couldn't. But here's an illustration that'll help you get it. All right. What is comprehensive car insurance? Well, comprehensive car insurance means that no matter what happens, it'll take care of it. You know, no matter, it's full coverage. It'll cover all the dents and bings and bangs and breaks that you might get. It's comprehensive. It covers the whole thing. So, comprehensive forgiveness is forgiving anything and everything that comes our way. And that's not easy. But you know, as we think about God's example, God is willing to forgive every sin against Him. Every sin. You know, Israel had turned their back on God. They had been serving God. They turned their back on God. They're over here serving idols, living filthy lives, bowing down to idols. Even they had even stooped to the point at some times where they were sacrificing their own babies to the false gods. Can you imagine? You have a little baby, and you take that baby to the god, and some of those gods that they had would be an idol, and they would build a big fire in the idol, and it would have hands held out like this, and the idol would turn red hot. And they'd lay their baby on those red hot arms of that idol and it would roll down into the fire. Can you imagine to sacrifice to a God like that? That would demand such a terrible thing. And God saw that and His heart broke inside. He said, oh, Israel, come back to me. Come back to me. Don't do that. I'll forgive you if you come back. And God is longing for them to come back. And He desired to forgive them and take them back. And you know, when Christ saved you, how many of your sins did He forgive? All of them. He forgave all of them. We find that in Titus 2:14, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity. And then also, after we're saved, I wish we could live a perfect life and never sin again, but that doesn't happen either. So now that we're saved, 1 John 1:9 gives us help as well. And it says that if we have sinned against God, what do we need to do? He said, if we'll confess our sin, God will take care of it. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All of it. So if I come to God, I don't have to come to God and say, oh God, I really blew it. This is a big one, God. I did something really bad. I don't think You can forgive this one, God. I don't have to worry about that. God said He'll forgive me all iniquity. No matter what I do, He'll forgive it. You know, that doesn't give us the right to go out and say, well, I'm going to go live a wicked life and then I'll just come running to God and say, I'm sorry. That's not forgiveness. Genuine forgiveness is when we come and seek God's pardon and with a broken heart, desiring God to forgive. And so there's not this, you know, running back and forth and playing games with God and saying, all right, I'll live for the devil this week and I'll come back to God and tell him I'm sorry. And then I'll go live for the devil and come back and tell him sorry. That's playing games with God. That's not what he's talking about here. Genuine forgiveness from God is when we come to God and pour our heart and God says he'll forgive it all. Now, we must be willing then to forgive every sin against us. That's not easy. That's not easy. Forgiving involves three aspects. It involves three choices. The first choice is forgiving is a choice to obey God and set the offender free from our heart's angry bondage. It's a choice to forgive and obey and set the offender free. You know, somebody in your past has hurt you deeply. God wants you to forgive. Maybe your spouse hurts you terribly. Maybe even has becomes unfaithful to you. God wants you to forgive. And if we refuse to forgive, God says he can't forgive us. And that's a pretty serious thing. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 25, and when you stand praying, forgive. If any have aught against any, that means if there's anything you have against somebody else, forgive them. That your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive your trespasses. Now, I don't believe that verse says that if you don't forgive somebody, you're going to go to hell. I don't believe it means that. But God's going to hold us accountable for not forgiving. And in some way, I will miss out on a blessing or some benefit that God wants for me if I refuse to forgive. God says, I cannot forgive you if you don't forgive others. And so it is absolutely important that we forgive. So we need to, first of all, choose to obey God and forgive. Secondly, we need to choose to let God settle the score. That's not easy either. You say, but I can't forgive because if I forgive them and just let them go, they'll get away with it. No, that's not the point. God will take care of it. And we need to believe God. Just like God promised to do other things for us, if God promises to give us eternal life, and then God says, vengeance is mine, I'll repay, says the Lord. God says, I'll take care of it. We need to trust him. Give it to him. Let him take care of it. Even though it may seem like they're getting away with it, they're not. God will take care of it. Romans 12:19 says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So secondly, choose to let God settle the score. Number three, we need to choose to change our attitude about the situation. Ephesians 4:31 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. God says, put away all the rotten, bad, mean feelings. Let God take care of it. So God says, choose to forgive, set them free, choose to let God settle the score, and choose to change your attitude about the situation. And if we'll do that, we can have peace in our heart. And so, comprehensively forgive. Forgive comprehensively. Second thing we need to do is forgive repeatedly. Forgive repeatedly. Jesus told Peter never to stop forgiving. You know, we often think like Peter. And Peter, every time I read about some of the things Peter did, I think, they could have put my name in there instead of Peter, and it probably would have fit pretty well. Peter was always doing something to get himself in trouble, and I would be just like Peter in so many times. And maybe you feel the same way. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 says, then came Peter to Jesus and said, Lord, how often did my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus says unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Not just seven times, Peter. 70 times seven. Now, Jesus was not suggesting to Peter that he get a forgiveness logbook. You know, keep track. All right. 212, 213, halfway there. You know, 440, almost done. Then I'm going to nail him. No, he wasn't suggesting that at all. He was suggesting an endless forgiveness. An endless forgiveness. And we too must never stop forgiving. Jesus never stopped forgiving. We must never stop forgiving. We must continue to forgive and forgive and forgive. Now, we are not to forgive based on our feelings, but based on God's command. You know, there are times that I don't feel like forgiving somebody. I don't feel like it. In my flesh, I feel like punching them. You know, I don't feel like forgiving. But I can't base it on my feelings. Got to base it on what God said. God said, forgive, and I'll forgive you. And you'll get peace. And I've got to believe God and obey him. And that's the right thing to do. Luke chapter 17, verse number 4 says, And if you trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee and saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. That's pretty serious. You know, you stop and think about it. You know, your spouse or your parent or your son or whatever may do something wrong once and say, now stop doing that. I forgive you. Okay, don't do it. And they do it again and they come, oh, I'm sorry. And you forgive them. I mean, after about six times, you're saying, wait a minute. How many times are you going to keep doing this? I remember one of the things my mother used to say to me, and I used to hate it when she said it, but I knew deep down in my heart she was right. She said, Scott, if you're really sorry, you're not going to do that again. I hated it when she said that because I knew my rotten heart and I knew I'd end up doing it again. But I knew Mom was right, that I should not want to do it again. But he said, even if somebody does it seven times in a day and comes back and says, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I blew it again, he said, forgive him. That's tough. But that's what God said we're to do. And with God's help, we can do all that God asks us to do. Now, when we do not want to forgive somebody, here's what we need to do. We need to remember how God has forgiven us. Remember all the things God has forgiven me for. How many times have you asked God for forgiveness for the same fault? You stop and think back over your life, even the last week or last month. How many times have you asked God to forgive you for the same thing again and again? What if God said, nah, you've asked me to forgive me for that several times already. I'm tired of that one. I'm not going to forgive you for that one anymore. We'd say, no, God, please. I need forgiveness for that too. See, we need to keep on forgiving people even when we don't feel like forgiving them, don't want to forgive them, because we need forgiveness. Ephesians 4:32, it says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. God keeps on forgiving, and we need to keep on forgiving. That's the best thing and the right thing to do. Now, we must also repeatedly seek forgiveness of others when we've sinned. You know, it's one thing to forgive. It's another thing to seek forgiveness. And I'm not sure which one's harder. Sometimes seeking forgiveness is just about as hard as forgiving. I mean, when you got to humble yourself and basically crawl to the other person and say, you know, I'm really sorry. I was wrong. That's not easy. And our pride many times keeps us from doing that. Our pride says, no, they were part of the problem too, and I'm not going to say I'm sorry. It was their problem too. And we just hold our ground. No, God says, you settle your issue and let God take care of them and help them to settle their issue. If you've done wrong, you know, anytime there's a squabble or a fight, there's two sides to it. There's always two sides. And even if you feel like you were only 5% wrong and they were 95% wrong, if you will humble yourself and apologize for the 5%, God will work on their heart. Now, you can't go up to them and say, all right, I'm sorry, I was 5% wrong, but you were 95% wrong. No, that's not going to work. All right, you just got to forget about their side. Let God take care of that, and you go up and say, I'm sorry, I didn't handle the situation right. And leave it at that. Ask them for forgiveness. Instead of making any excuses. And it's important that we do that. And we'll see some more of that in just a moment. We need to admit our guilt. You know, here's the way to do it. The first thing is we need to admit that we are guilty to ourselves. Then we need to tenderly approach the person. It's important that we tenderly approach them because they've been offended. I did something to my wife. She's been offended. And if I go up to her and say, ah, come on, quit being such a baby about it. But just, you know, I'm sorry. That's not going to work. All right? That's not very tender. She's going to just say, go away. All right? No, I got to be tender about it. I got to go up to her and say, honey, I'm sorry. I was wrong. Would you please forgive me? You know, we need to tenderly approach the person, admit our guilt, seek to understand their hurt. You know, that's something that we often don't think about, but it's very important. Think about what I did to that person and how they felt. Because that helps me to genuinely feel the sorrow and repentance in my heart. And then ask them to forgive us. You know, it's very important that you ask, will you please forgive me? Don't just say, I'm sorry. Here's the reason why. You can walk up and say, I'm sorry, and it doesn't get any kind of response from the other person. They don't have to make any kind of response. If you just said, you know, I'm sorry, I was guilty, I did wrong, I'm sorry. And they can walk away with no response, and you don't know whether they responded positively or negatively. But when you come to them and say, I was guilty, I'm sorry, would you please forgive me? They have to make a response. All right, I'll forgive you. And then it can be settled. And that's God's way to do it. And that's what we need to do. So, forgive repeatedly. So first of all, forgive comprehensively. Anything that comes along needs to be forgiven. Secondly, forgive repeatedly. Even if they do it 7 times in one day, God says, forgive them anyway. Thirdly, forgive promptly. Forgive promptly. God never makes us wait to be forgiven. Never does. Gomer left Hosea. He went looking for her, and he forgave her and restored her to her relationship. Now, did she deserve it? No. And when I come to God and say, God, would you please forgive me? Do I deserve it? Most of the time, no. I don't deserve it. I deserve judgment. I don't deserve His forgiveness. And when you go to the person and say, would you please forgive me? Or they come to you and say, would you please forgive me? There may not be a deservingness there. That's not the issue. The issue is we need to forgive. God forgives promptly. And that's because He cares about us and wants our closeness again. You know, when we seek God's forgiveness, He never says to us, well, I'll think about it. Never says that. He doesn't say to us, well, maybe later, but I'm not ready yet. So when someone comes to you and says, would you please forgive me? I was wrong. And you turn to them and say, maybe tomorrow, not now. I'm too mad at you right now. I won't forgive you. You're not responding like God. That's not the way God responds. God always forgives promptly. Here's a verse that if you haven't memorized yet, I've quoted it dozens of times. You need to have it memorized. Psalm 86:5. God says, For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Psalm 86:5. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive. Ready to forgive. God is ready to forgive me. All I have to do is come to Him and say, God, would you please forgive me? And He said, yes, I will. Now, it's important for us to remember that a sore left dirty becomes infected. And that is so true with our spiritual lives as well. You get a splinter in your hand, and that splinter hurts. And you say, all right, got to get this splinter out. You go to your friend and say, friend, help me with this splinter because I can't get my splinter out. You got a choice to make. And I remember as a kid, you know, you'd get this splinter in your finger and you'd run to mom. Oh, mom, my finger hurts, I got a splinter. And so she grabs a big needle. This is my mom. She grabbed a big needle and heated it up with a match, got it sterilized. We'd go, oh, don't, my mom, I'm scared. All right, you got a choice to make at that point. You can endure a little bit of pain of the needle pulling the splinter out and a little bit of pain of the antiseptic, or you can leave the splinter in and get infected and have a big pain later on. You've got a choice. And the same thing is true in our lives. If we will promptly deal with the situation, that little splinter that's between you and your spouse or you and your parent, and you go deal with it and forgive and get forgiven, it'll hurt, yes, a little bit. It's hard. It hurts a bit. It stings a bit. But it's taken care of. But you let it go, and it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. And the bitterness is going to be there. And it's going to get worse and worse and worse until tension grows and you have more problems and more hurts and more guilt and more consequences. So the right thing to do is to deal with it right away. God's solution addresses the offense right away. Ephesians 4:26 says, be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Now what that's saying is you need to take care of your problems before you go to bed. You know, as a married man, there's been times we've had some late nights. We'll sit there, I'm not giving in. I'm not going to give in. We'll try to talk through it. And then finally, you know, 2-3 in the morning. Years ago, we had more problems like that. We've kind of learned, and now we kind of get it right away, so we don't need to spend half the night waiting for it. But refuse, you know, years ago when we got married, we determined we were not going to go to sleep until we settled our problem. And as far as I know, we've never gone to sleep without settling our problem. And that's the right thing to do. You do that, it'll help your marriage more than perhaps anything else. It's just say, I'm not going to sleep until we've got the problem settled. Get it taken care of. God said, don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. And Kendrick in his book again says, anytime we close our days without clearing our emotional accounts, things turn sour. And that is so true. It's so true. We want God's prompt forgiveness, and we must do the same to others. That verse, Matthew 7:12, that we often paraphrase, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's exactly what we're talking about here. You want someone to forgive you, then you forgive them. That's the right thing to do. That's what God tells us to do. That's the right thing to do. So, we need to forgive comprehensively. We need to forgive repeatedly. We need to forgive promptly. And last, we need to forgive permanently. We need to forgive permanently. This begins with complete forgiveness. Complete forgiveness. You know, remember, forgiving is not brushing the offense aside. You know, somebody's hurt me. Well, I'll just forget it. Don't worry about it. Or somebody's, your spouse says to you, let's just talk about that. Nah, just forget it. Let's not talk about it. Just forget it. It's done. We can't redo it. We can't fix it. Just forget it. That's not forgiveness. That's not forgiveness. That's not the answer. All right. And nor is it to just stop thinking about it. That's not the answer. They say, well, I'm just not going to think about it anymore. You know, they hurt me a long time ago. I'm just not going to think about it. I'll just brush it aside. I'll put it out of my mind and won't think about it. That's not forgiveness. That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is setting the offender completely free. Have you set the offender completely free? Have you turned loose the chains that bound them in your angry heart toward them? And set them free. Let them go. And say, God, you take care of the situation. I'm not going to fret about it anymore. And I'm not going to, because you hold them bound up in your heart saying, I'm not going to forgive them. They hurt me so badly. I will not forgive them. Well, you're only hurting yourself. You're not hurting them. You're hurting yourself. Oh, you might be mean to them and think you're hurting them, but that's not really hurting them. But when you set them free and turn it over to God and let God take care of them, then God can deal with the situation. A lot of times God can't deal with the situation because we're still hanging on and won't let Him. And God will take care of the situation. Now, we may not see it taken care of in our own lifetime, perhaps even. But remember, all people are going to stand before God someday. There's a day coming when everybody's going to stand before God and give an account to God. God will settle every score. And we need to remember that and trust God for that. Let God take care of it. No matter how far in the past it was or whatever the situation was, you completely forgive. Now, complete forgiveness is not conditional. It's not conditional. What do I mean? I'll forgive you as long as you never do it again. That's conditional. Or I'll forgive you, but if you do it again, I will never forgive you again. That's conditional as well. God says forgiveness is unconditional. I forgive you. I set you free. It's taken care of. With God's help, we can completely forgive. It's not easy, but with God's help, we can completely forgive. Now, forgiveness is also the need to forgive and choose not to remember. Now, God knows all things. And yet God chooses to put away things that we confessed permanently. Now, it's not necessarily that God forgot about it, but He chose not to remember. A good verse to remember and memorize that'll help you with forgiveness in your relationship with God is Psalm 103, verse 12. Psalm 103, verse 12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. If God would have said, as far as the north is from the south, we'd say, well, that's a long ways. But as far as the east is from the west, there is no end. If you go west, you can go west and west and west and west and west and for the rest of your life and the rest of eternity, and you're still going west. And if you go east, you can go east and east and east and east, and you'll still go east. there is no end because they have no end. And God says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. God says, they're gone. There's another place where in Micah where He says that He buries our sins in the depths of the deepest sea. There's a place in Hebrews where He says that He will never remember them all anymore. He'll forgive them and never remember them anymore. It isn't that God can't remember. He's chosen not to remember them. Now, usually it is not possible to forget someone's hurt toward us. Occasionally it can happen. We can truly forget, but most of the time we can't forget. But we can choose not to remember. We can choose not to remember. By that, I mean we do not dwell upon it. We do not ever bring it up again. We do not ever use it as ammunition against that person or as revenge against that person. We never, you know, the next time you get in your next argument, you say, well, the last time you do that, you... Oh, wait a minute, that was forgiven. Don't bring it up again. It was forgiven. And it's not to be talked about again because we forgave it. And so we don't use it in that way. We choose not to remember. And we need to think then on God's forgiveness toward us instead. Think about God's forgiveness. And pray that God will bless that person you forgave. You know, that will help you more than anything you can imagine. If you start praying for that person that you have forgiven. And praying not just, God, settle the score with me for that person. You know, I forgave them, but Lord, they still need a big clobber. You take care of them. No, not that kind of prayer. But God, I forgave them for what they did for me, to me. And now, Lord, would you please work in their life and bless them? You say, I couldn't do that. You can. And if you do, it'll give you a peace you have not had to that point. It'll be a great help to you if you'll do that. Pray for that person that has hurt you. So, forgiving is one of the most difficult things that you can do. And yet one of the most important things you can do. And when you forgive and let God deal with the offender, not only do you free the offender from your sin's angry bondage, but you set yourself free from a life of bitterness and hate. And you will be the winner. And only then can you begin to enjoy God's peace. Only then can you truly begin to enjoy God's peace when you have truly set all of your offenders free. Let them go and let it turn over to God and truly forgive. You need to ask yourself tonight, is there someone that needs your forgiveness tonight? Is there an offense that you have refused to forgive? Is there an unresolved anger and bitterness hindering your walk with God? Do you keep digging up forgiven offenses? If so, the right thing to do is to right now ask God to forgive you and learn to become a good forgiver. And you know, the same goes true with those of us who've offended somebody else. You need to seek someone's forgiveness tonight. Something you've done that you've not confessed and not dealt with. Seek their forgiveness. Humble yourself. Admit the offense. Tenderly ask their forgiveness. Don't wait any longer. Do it tonight. Get it taken care of. And if we will truly forgive and be forgiven, we can have a clean heart and peace with us and God and with us and others. Make a great difference in your life. And you know, these are foundational to making your marriage and your home all that God wants it to be. You need to cherish your marriage. You need to get rid of the selfishness. And you need to start forgiving. And truly forgive and completely forgive. And let forgiveness take control. And it'll make a world of difference in your life. And then next week, Lord willing, we'll be looking at communication. You can't communicate if you've got problems between you and somebody else. You need to forgive first. And you can't really forgive, or you can't really communicate if there's selfishness there. Because you're all looking out after yourself instead of communicating with others. And next week we'll see how we can begin to communicate. And this is a huge topic, and it'll be difficult to condense it into something that we can take with us in one message. But God wants us to be, wants us to have happy homes. And God wants us to be home builders. So let's do it tonight. Determine before God tonight. And if there's a need that you need to deal with tonight, why not take care of it right now?